Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Paul, you had quite the weekend, and that is putting it mildly. Saturday night slash Sunday morning, it was very early Sunday morning. And before we get into some of the details of this and what happened, look, we live what is sometimes a public life. People will wonder, why are you bringing this on the air? We try to be, for the most part, an open book, the four of us, with what's going on behind the scenes and tell stories that people can relate to in some way. We think of many of our listeners as really good friends, and I'm sure that you, at least I think you probably see this as cathartic in some way, what we're about to do here, or at least you hope it's going
to be
that way.
We'll find out in a couple minutes, I guess.
But, so, I'll read the text that you sent us, me, Chad, and Reed, on our group text, Midday 180 group text. I woke up to this Sunday morning, right before I went to the stadium, and I promise you, I thought you were detailing a dream that you had. That's what I thought you were doing. Because I scrolled back up to see, okay, is he telling us about some dream that he's setting up? But Paul sent us a text, three words that just says, got punched again. And then this was the following message that he sent us. Unbelievable night over here. 2 a.m., alarm goes off. I was up in the bonus room. I hear a ruckus downstairs. I run down and a woman that I think is T is facing off with a drugged out naked guy. He's near the back door. She's at the bottom of the stairs. I start screaming to tell this guy to get out of the house. I don't know you. He eventually charges me. And the woman that is in the home is actually a cop. She tases him. Paul takes some of the tase. The details go on here. And it turns out that this guy was running from the cops because he was wanted. They were trying to find him. And for whatever reason, I'm paraphrasing now on some of the details. For whatever reason, he picked your home, one out of a million, to go into. And your alarm's going off. You go downstairs, and you're in the middle of this. And he charges you and punches you in the face.
He charged her. So the first stupid detail here, which is the most embarrassing and sets this whole chain thing in motion, is that I forgot to lock the door. So my alarm system did its job, but the guy who's supposed to lock the door failed to do his job. So this kid's running around the neighborhood, and apparently they think he's just running by my house and tries the door, and it opens. So Teresa and Simon are in the bathroom upstairs. She's on the phone with 911, who's telling her immediately that the second person in the house is a officer. I have no idea this. And I don't have my glasses on. It's dark. I'm at the bottom of the stairs. She's brunette. Teresa's brunette. I'm thinking that my wife is facing this intruder down in the house. I'm delivering a very strongly worded message for him to get out. He's like frantic, but staying in space. She's got a taser aimed at him and is waiting for help. And he charges her, really, more than me. He charges us anyway. She tases him. He goes down. He's kicking like crazy, flailing his arms. You know, in the moment, my thing is I see the front door open and I'm compelled to get him out of the house. I think we're trying to get him out of the house. I'm grabbing at feet and trying to drag him out of the house. I don't know if I got punched, if I got kicked. I smashed my shoulder into the a door frame. This thing probably lasted 2 minutes. It felt like forever. And I may have been working against her because I'm trying to pull him out by his feet, trying to get control of his feet. And she is trying to get control of him. Ultimately, she does. And it wasn't long before four other police officers from Brentwood come running in. And you know, everybody takes a limb, and the five of them collectively got him out of there. And I ran upstairs and knocked on the door, tell them everything's okay. You know, there's a big hug, and there's an officer with us the whole time from then, talking us through this, sitting with us. I got checked out by EMTs. Officer got checked out by EMTs, and it just was craziness from there. So two big lessons that I would share with our listeners. Be sure to lock your damn door. This is the kind of thing I would crush you for doing.
So
I would never wish this result on anybody.
And the second?
Well, it's about the kid who turns out to be a juvenile who tried something he shouldn't have been trying and acted like somebody you see on these crime TV shows who is strung out on something. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. I don't know much about the kid, but this could be a life-changing night for him, for which he's facing multiple charges, and it might have been one really bad choice. And the big challenge in my house now is talking to an 8-year-old who's been told his whole life, while he's expressed fear about somebody coming in the house, that it's just not in the realm of possibility. It's not in the realm of possibility, Simon, that somebody comes in our house. And so no matter how much we're talking to him now, what is he thinking about? Other things I've told him that will never happen, that he now thinks maybe the envelope is open on. Did tell him, and I hope this is the right thing. It feels like the right thing. Big mistake on the front end that the door's open. Big mistake by this kid coming in. Scary situation. But what fell in place after that? A cop right behind him. Dad between him and danger. Mom keeping him safe somewhere. Everything that's supposed to happen, happened.
I speak on behalf of everyone. We are so glad you're okay, that your family is okay. Teresa and Simon, just a crazy, crazy story. One of the craziest I've ever heard. Because you're up in the bonus room, you're asleep, you wake up to this, and you go downstairs in a daze. You had to be in a daze at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you end up trying to help drag this naked guy out of your home, who's drugged out of his mind, apparently. Along with a cop that followed him into your home. So is this right inside your front door? Is this your kitchen? Where did this take place?
Yeah, kind of.
How far did he get into your home?
Yeah, from the front door to the back. He's standing near the back door. That's why I'm screaming at him. I'm presuming he came in the back door. So
yeah.
I'm trying to get him to go back out the back door. He had no idea where the
front door's wide open, though,
at front
the time.
Door is wide open. And during the fight, you know, I have these boxes of pins, like three frame boxes that don't have a lid on it, that I buy pins at events.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
So I've got a pin from Wimbledon, from all the places I've been. And so we smashed into that wall, knocked down the vast majority of the pins during this wrestling, and the carpet got all crumpled up there in front of the door. I want to, before we go anywhere, just really heartfelt thanks. And listen, I know I tease the police. I tease the police over traffic enforcement. I uneven traffic enforcement, and I was joking with these police about that, as they all of them were familiar with the show, which is a nice twist. But Allison Smith in particular, who was the officer in my house, and look, I got beat up, she got beat up, and she's, you know, coming into a strange house, facing down a strange man alone. I know it's her job, but she did a hell of a job keeping me and my family safe. Allison Smith, then the other officers involved that night, Frank Moncayo, Sean Emmons, Mark Stevens, and Sergeant Chris Woodard, all with incredible bedside manner, all incredibly reassuring. And then this morning, we were ready to give our statements, our written statements, and Sergeant Woodard sent somebody out, and lo and behold, it's Ray Placentia, the guy who once pulled me over in Brentwood and gave
Officer Placentia,
who's got maybe the best bedside manner in history. And he talked to Simon about baseball and soccer and stuff while Teresa and I wrote everything out. So thanks to everybody for the well wishes. I'm glad it's not worse. My wife has done a really good job of taking it as, you know, this kid could have been dead in a lot of other scenarios. So maybe he picked the right house because he wasn't going to get killed in ours. You know, it's easy to say that, knowing that he's naked. There was nothing concealed. We saw what he had, which was nothing.
But still.
Nothing across the board. I say that. I say that literally, figuratively.
But still, no, you're absolutely correct in that. And like,
how many houses does he die in Brentwood? 7 or 10?
In my house, he doesn't. I don't know. I'm going to say he doesn't die. He gets shot. I ain't fighting a naked man. I'm shooting your knee at least.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Paul is sharing his crazy, unbelievable story of getting punched in the head, slammed against a wall, and helping fight off a deranged, naked juvenile. And no, we're not joking. It was that unbelievable in the text we received. He protected his family during a home invasion Sunday morning. And we all woke up, Midday 180 did, to a text detailing this crazy, scary night. And we're so happy that everyone involved is okay. That's first and foremost, Paul. So,
and so many people, you know, reached out from the neighborhood, and as they heard rumors, reached out to Teresa to, you know, offer to bring food or have them over. They wound up at good friends of ours across the street for much of the day, who cooked us dinner, and it couldn't have been sweeter. It's pretty funny. I was texting with my good friend across the street, Bob. But I couldn't see him because there's a fire truck between the line of vision. So I think he was trying to peer around the fire truck, you know,
what's
to see that
there
was me texting. But, yeah, the police spoke to them before they left too, and assured everybody that this is like a one in a million thing. One guy at Placentia today said 17 years in this, never seen it before, never going to see it again.
I kept, like, when I got the text that Paul had been punched in the head, I was so excited. Like, I was drowsy, I was sleepy, and I read this, and I was immediately just shaken awake because I wanted to hear the story of Paul getting punched. But it wasn't the fun, whimsical story that I thought. But I'm reading
that.
Yeah,
that was the first text back. David said that wasn't quite the whimsical story I was expecting.
This is not my favorite Paul got punched story. But my hierarchy of concern started with Simon. Is Simon okay? Is Teresa okay? How's Finley? Is the police officer okay? What about the naked guy? What about Paul? Is he okay too?
Thank you. Well, I was texting with you, so I would presume that you figured I was okay by that point. That's pretty funny.
Jeff Hughes is the chief of police for the city of Brentwood, and he has called in on the Midday 180. Chief, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing well. We're doing very, very well. People.
And it's just crazy hearing Paul's story. You clearly heard it too.
Yeah, first and foremost, want to wish Paul and his family well. I'm certainly glad that Paul, you weren't seriously injured in this incident, and I'm sure it was a very traumatic experience for you and your son and your wife. And it's just terrible and unfortunate that anyone would have to go through that. So I'm glad it turned out the way it did, that no one was seriously injured.
I am as well, and that is largely because of Allison Smith. So I'd love to see her again in different circumstances to thank her again. But when she reemerged into the house, which was a good while later, I looked right at her and I said, "Can I hug you?"
Well,
she got a big one from me.
Couple of thoughts, and the main reason I called in, this is not something that anyone would expect to be awoken to in the middle of the morning, and
guys should probably lock his door, huh?
Well, that was the main reason that I wanted to say thank you to you for the public service announcement that we appreciate you acknowledging that, because sometimes here in Brentwood, particularly in a safe community like ours, we get a false sense of security. And it's important that you lock your doors and take the precautions to not make yourself an easy target for this or any potential type of criminal activity. So thank you for that. And then also, you talked about the one in a million houses, and this guy picked your house, but in a sense, I want to thank you because you came to the aid of our police officer while she was waiting on backup, and you put yourself in danger by assisting her in detaining this subject until backup officers could arrive. And so I want to thank you for that as well.
Well, I've thought of at least 100 ways I could have done it better, should have done it better, and I probably got to get off of that train. But since it's over with and dealt with, I can't go back and fix it. But I tell you, I'd have a different strategy if I ever was in the situation again.
Well,
which I'm not going to be.
Sp- split second decision that you had to make in a situation where you weren't even sure what was going on or why it was going on. All's well that ends well, and that no one was seriously injured. And so thank you, number one, for acknowledging the public service message about locking your doors. Thank you for your assistance with Officer Smith, and just truly glad that you and your family were not harmed. And big fan of the show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Can we hit one more thing on the way out? And again, thank you to your people. Can we work on let's pull some people over who are going too slow instead of too fast? And let's pull some people over who are blocking the box. I propose they be put in a stockade. You cannot block an intersection.
We'll take that under advisement, Paul.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the audience.
Also, Chief Hughes, whenever Paul calls someone chief, it's normally an insult. But with you, he means it with the utmost respect.
Utmost respect.
I'm very familiar with the history of that. So, yeah, I'll take that in the context of Smith. Thank you.
We appreciate you,
thank you.
Listening.
Good to hear from
in.
You.
Also, I'd be remiss not to thank EMTs who were there. They gave me a heart check because I was involved in the tasing and a thorough checkup. They make you decline the trip to the hospital, obviously, and they were great too and familiar with us.
And oh, by the way, Paul made it to work. He went to the game. He was at the stadium at 9 a.m. yesterday morning.
Teresa was like, "What are you going to do? Just sit here with us all day if you don't go?" Simon had a soccer game. Tournament, we think they might have won. We don't know the result of the other game of the round robin, but like I said, neighbors took good care of them, and I was able to. I would have hated to miss that game, no matter what. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'll say that.
What was Finley's role in this?
Finley's role was to run out the open door and bark like crazy. And one thing the officer said, I think he's out there telling people to come. There are a lot of flashing lights, a lot of stuff going on. He did not.
So he turned into Lassie.
By the time I was down there, he was Lassie. And the one thing they told my wife, 911 told my wife on the phone is get the child and get the dog. And she's like, yeah, getting the dog is not, would require me to go downstairs into this and outside. I can't see a scenario where I can get the dog. Finley's Paul, a good boy.
Again, I'm so thankful everyone's okay. This was such a crazy, crazy story. And I know when I say everyone's okay, I mean that from the physical sense, because you're still replaying this, just like I'm sure Teresa and Simon are as well. So I know you're still dealing with it, but from a physical stance and standpoint, thankfully, everyone is okay.
They got a lot longer report probably than they wanted. They gave me two sheets when I sat down to write this morning. And before I was done, I was like, hey, can I have another sheet of paper? Oh, they got three good pages. That text that I sent you guys was really fleshed out on paper.
Oh,
thanks to everyone for the kind words. I don't wish it on anybody.
So you sent this text to us. You mentioned you sent it to family and some other friends. Did you send it to the All 22?
I did inform the All 22 of what happened.
There you go.
They knew before kickoff for sure.
Okay. There's the insight right there. You knew the story before anyone else.
Circle of trust. And I did share it on Periscope last night with my membership. But it was not, I don't know. It's weird to kind of talk about it solo. It's weird, frankly, to talk about it collectively. But I do generally come on here and share stuff. It's cathartic for me. And I think
we all do.
This show is a little bit like opening a vein. And I think it's part of what helps make it entertaining or informative or connects with you on some emotional level. And I promise you right now, we're going to get back to Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Football and big win and something to be happy about.
And we're always willing to put you on the couch, Paul.
Yeah, it's disappointing Dr. Winthrow wasn't here.